When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
But you can't bowl and you can't throw. I'm just telling you what everybody knows. Absolute sense. You put down all the talent that hit you out of the ground. Don't ask what it was, Karen and Joe. You see, you can't bowl and you can't throw.
In a week where Australia used the distraction of a T20 series to smuggle most of their World Cup winning squad out of India, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
After that first loss, Marnus said, "This." I remember it was quite prophetic. He said, this is not the end, this is just the beginning. And did you guys actually believe that the whole way through?
We never listen to Marnus as a rule. there's so many great quotes, I think, throughout the tournament. You know, even when Mitchy Marsh had to go home, he said, "No, I'll be back to win that cup in a couple of weeks." There's lots of those little moments that you look back on now that we've won and you think, wow.
Here we go. That was friend of the show, Pat Cummins, speaking at a press conference. And he'd been smuggled back into Australia early. He was one of the first ones that they got out of the country.
What was his preferred disguise?
Oh, a pair of glasses. His classic go-to move.
His classic Clark Kent.
Yes.
Anyway, you're here with Kat Jones and Dan Liebke, and we never listened to Marnus either.
No. Although we do get his newsletter.
Yes, we do.
So, yeah, well, we're probably the last podcast in the world to recap the World Cup final. But we're not going to bore you
with too much recapping, we promise.
But we will intersperse some of Marnus's thoughts with the rest of the discussion, because Marnus sent out a newsletter with some of the images he found online and just a few little sentences here and there of what he thought.
Are you going to tell me when you're interspersing, or do I have to guess?
Have to wait and see.
Yes. Well, anyway, since we last recorded, Australia has won another World Cup. Have they got room?
Yeah, I think so. I think they can work out the room. So Travis Head was the last member of the World Cup squad to be smuggled out, probably as punishment for his efforts in stealing the final from the India side.
He played nearly all the T20s, right?
I think so. I think he might have missed the first one or two when he was too hungover to play. But yes, going back to the World Cup, he did take that brilliant catch for Rohit Sharma to slow down India's very fast start. Uh-huh. And Marnus had some thoughts on Travis's catch.
What did he say?
So Marnus correctly pointed out, this was huge in the context of the game. For Maxi to throw it up like he did and tempt Rohit into the shot and then Heady to take the grab, it was massive. There you go.
Feels like Marnus might say, for Maxi to throw it up like he did after the post-match party.
Yes. I don't think we got any footage of that for Marnus to comment on, but I'm sure he'd just copy-paste the same comment.
Yeah, of course.
And then, of course, during the run chase, Head hit a century and that just about saw Australia home. So a big game for Travis Head.
And Marnus, did he comment?
Yeah, he had thoughts on Travis Head's century. Well, he kind of had thoughts. He said, no words needed. Uh-huh. What a knock, what a player.
Well, that's a complete contradiction. I mean, you know, he should have just gone, no words needed.
Yep.
So anyway, forget the century and the catch. Easily the funniest and, of course, the best piece of cricket from Head during the final was when he sent Steve Smith packing. So he's at the other end. There's an LBW. And he's gone, nah, mate, you're plumb, off you shoot. Fantastic.
Poor old Steve Smith. He wasn't out, but he wasn't game to review it because Head said, nah, see you later.
Yeah, good work firing Smith.
Yep.
So what did Marnus think?
Marnus had some thoughts, not specifically on Smith, but he said, walking out to this at 3 for 47 is a feeling I'll never forget. It was so loud and the wave of momentum India had was immense. The Indian team were getting into me and all I could say back, and very truthfully at that, was, I actually can't hear what you're saying over the crowd.
That is best sledge of 2023.
Yep. Yep. Good work from Marnus.
Yeah. Anyway. Anyway, James Marsh on, I think, Twitter. Was
yes,
it Twitter?
Yeah,
James. He had perhaps the best description of Head. So he says, so much to love about Travis Head, not least that he always looks like a mugshot of a Florida man arrested for an amusing but criminal incident involving meth, an alligator and a roller coaster.
Yeah. That is exactly what Travis Head looks like.
Yeah.
Yes. But apart from Travis Head, there were a few other key moments from the finals.
Only funny ones, I expect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So Cummins winning the toss and deciding to bowl first. This is only really funny in retrospect because at the time everyone thought that was crazy.
Yep.
But kind of later on everyone's gone, oh, that's why Australia won. It's because Cummins got to bowl first.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they kind of ignore the fact that Rohit said he wanted to bat first anyway.
Yes.
So yeah.
It's amazing what the benefit of hindsight can bring.
Yeah. So Marnus said, rip in, boys. Nothing to lose here. Let's go all the way.
So the other moment that was key in the final was when Maxwell came to the crease, of course.
Yep.
And he hit a two first ball he faced, and then he finished the match with a 200 strike rate. So from start to finish, he was
that one ball
perfect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clutch. So Marnus's comment about that last one ball partnership with Maxwell, I just kept saying to myself, be here at the end, Marn. I like how he actually uses his own name when he talks to himself.
Hey, self-talk of Marn.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Any other highlights?
Oh, well, of course, Cummins dismissing Coley. Mm. I mean, that's always a highlight. It does happen fairly often.
Yes. Yeah, if we could record in a studio as quiet as the stadium was at that point, it would be an infinitely better sounding podcast.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
It was incredibly quiet.
Yeah.
As Marnus himself said, standing in the middle of a giant stadium with 130,000 fans in it, not sure it was 130,000, but nevertheless, with 130,000 fans in it who all went silent at this moment, we all just stood in the team huddle and took it in for a moment.
I bet they did.
They did, yep.
Yeah. Anyway, then there was a post-match ceremony where I think someone threw the cup at Cummins and stormed off. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. Everybody assumed that India was going to win. So they had all these fireworks and drone things set up and everybody was not as interested in them when Australia happened to win. So Modi basically handed over the trophy, then just wandered off.
Yep.
And so poor old Pat was just left standing awkwardly on the stage all by himself.
Yeah, presumably the 130,000 fans all gone home by this point.
Yes, yes indeed. So Marnus had one final quote for us here. He said, you can't deny the record Pat has as captain, a great leader. So there you go.
What a lot of wonderful comments there. And congratulations to Pat Cummins' Australian side. 6 World Cups, yeah?
Mm, yep.
A Test Championship.
Yep.
And a couple of Champions trophies,
Yep.
So they've almost caught up to the women, right?
Almost.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we just have time to cover Australia's shameful T20 series defeat against India.
A highlight of the week.
Yeah, yeah. The World Cup is very much old news. Can't live on those highlights forever, lads.
You're only as good as your last tournament.
Yes, exactly. And They didn't do very well, but everybody in Australia was very excited for this series when the news came out. It was like,
I mean, any excuse to stay up all night and watch cricket.
Yep,
in fact, get no sleep at all if we wanted to watch all those matches.
All the games were on about between, I don't know, 2 and 5 a.m. Or something dreadful. Yeah. But it was a proper chance for Australia to get some cricket under their belts in between the World Cup and the start of the Australian Test summer.
Yeah, don't want to go rusty.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was a little bit frustrating when Australia ended up losing the series against India 4-1.
Oh, well.
Hopefully there'll be a comprehensive performance review into what went wrong.
Yep. Australia would have lost 5-0. But, of course, there was one match where Maxwell had this amazing run chase century. And we did wake up that morning and go, oh, it's a bit disappointing we didn't get to see that match.
Yes.
That was incredible.
Yes.
But as soon as he did it, he just went home, right?
Yeah, that was punishment. Because I think that match theoretically kept the series alive. And
right.
I think everybody was sufficiently furious about that. It's like, get out of here, Maxwell, you're causing trouble. So off he went.
Yeah, every time they turn up in the middle, it would have been, so who's playing today? We've lost another one.
Yeah, like, the whole heap of noobs who just happened to be on an India supporters tour, they all got a game eventually. One of them was Chris Green. So he got presented his cap and shirt, and his shirt had Green on the back of it, which I don't think helps much if he ever has to play
T20. Did he just borrow it?
He might have borrowed it. It must have been like completely shrunken down if he did borrow it. But yes. So yeah, perhaps in future games, the font for Green on the back of his shirt could be regular sized and Cam Green could have a giant size.
Yes, that would work.
Because Cam Green's tall.
Of course, of course. I'm really glad that you explained that.
Always got to explain the Cameron Green jokes.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, we can't just have the sea green, can we?
No, it doesn't
We need
work.
A middle name in there.
Yeah, we do. I'm not sure what either of their middle names are, but...
Yeah.
It should go back to the old days when they first had T20s, everyone just had nicknames on it. But both their nicknames are probably greeny, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Or something so opposite of green. Maybe red.
Bluey.
Yeah. It was astounding who they muscled in for these games. In fact, Matthew Wade, who I thought had maybe retired 5 years ago, captained Australia. I love Matty Wade. Yep. It's so great to see him back. How on earth when did he arrive in India? What was he? Was he there on like a supporters tour?
I'm sure he was, yeah. He'd had a few drinks and they said, you know, you want to skipper Australia? Yeah. And he said, sure, I'll have a go. What Fantastic. The hell? What can go wrong?
Yeah.
Yes. But he's no Pat Cummins, is he?
No, of course not. So, no.
And obviously, you know, having lost the series, whenever an Australian captain loses a series, you always get the same old thing from the former leaders. Mm. And he's going to get the same thing now. Matty Wade is going to be, he needs to inject a little less mongrel into his game.
I thought it was a little more mongrel.
No, not anymore. Oh. These days you've got to inject a little less mongrel into your game.
Right, okay. Yeah. So play an Australian gentle way.
Yeah. So put positive body language out there, but without being overbearing and obnoxious about it.
Wade's good at that.
Yeah.
And I don't know, don't back down when confronted, right? Unless you can see the opposition has a valid argument.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Of course, and then you see the point, well made.
Yes.
Or you say, sorry, mate, couldn't hear you, the crowd was too loud.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. And, you know, make sure there's plenty of chat out there in the field, but only if you have something worth bringing to the discussion. I mean, there's no need to talk for talking's sake. So that's the new modern Australian way of playing. So hopefully Matty Wade can learn from that, get that mongrel out of his game and go on to become a leader.
Old dog, new tricks.
Exactly.
Mm. Anyway, congratulations to India for winning something. Can Australia ever regain their standing as a major cricketing nation?
Seems very unlikely.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, so my new book is out now. That book is called The 100 Funniest Moments in Australian Cricket, and you'll never guess what is in the book. It's The 100 Funniest Moments in Australian Cricket. So there's 100 funny moments, all ranked, recapped, counting down for everybody to read and enjoy.
So there's spoilers on the cover.
Well, there's a spoiler of one of the moments, yes.
Even the title's a spoiler.
The title is a complete spoiler, yes.
100 funny moments. Yep. See, we're going to open up the book and wonder about these moments. What could be wonder no longer.
Yeah, so the cover does feature one of the moments, nowhere near the top moment. It features John Howard's infamous bowling technique. So pick that up. If you just look for John Howard, grab the book, go and buy it. A perfect Christmas present for you. If you're listening to this, obviously. And so go out and buy it now. You can go to leavecricket.com/100funniest. That's 100 funniest. Or just wander into any bookstore in Australia and it should be there.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Let's play Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grade Cricketer?
All right, it is time for the quiz. And as you may have heard, if you listened to that previous ad, I do have a new book out now. It's called The 100 Funniest Moments in Australian Cricket. So as I said, if you are listening to this podcast, it's obviously a perfect Christmas present for you. Mm. Ask as many of your friends as you can to buy it to make sure you get it. So I wouldn't just ask one friend to get it. Ask four or five of them. All of them should go out and buy it just to make absolutely sure you get it for Christmas.
Absolutely.
So for the quiz this week, I'm going to read a sentence from one of the 100 100 funniest moments. So I've chosen five sentences scattered throughout the book, more or less at random. And all Kat has to do is tell me, based on the one sentence I read out, which funny moment it might be referring to.
Mm.
So I reckon if you get 3 out of 5, it's a win.
Okay, I'm going for 3. Well, I'm going for 5.
Aim high.
Going for 5.
Fair
like,
enough.
Like the Indian cricket team, but I might get 4.
Yeah. All right, so here's the first quote. After the match, Captain George Bailey spoke out against Faulkner's efforts to revive Three Stooges-style slapstick. "How embarrassing is that?" said Bailey. "We couldn't even get our high fives right. What about just a handshake? Just take it back to well bowled." So what was this in reference to?
I know exactly what this is in reference to. And this is James Faulkner coming up to celebrate after a wicket. Brad Haddin was a keeper. Mm-hmm. And they attempted a high five,
yep.
But instead Faulkner just stuck his finger right in Brad Haddin's eye, caused quite an injury.
Yeah, Haddin had to go off, yeah.
Yeah, so yes. Slapstick, yes.
Yes, so definitely. A bit of slapstick in the book and you are correct. So 1 point to you.
Woohoo.
All right. My second quote. "Like a stern father who'd had just about enough nonsense from you, young man, Atherton waved the batters in at the end of a Damien Fleming over in which Hick dotted out the last 3 balls. Hick looked stunned and disappointed, like an art collector logging in 3 months later to check his NFT portfolio." What's this in reference to?
Do you think that Graham Hick has NFTs?
Oh, I hope not. I hope not for his sake.
I like that idea that might be his post-career, cricket career. Anyway, I presume, I can't remember all the details of this particular event, but I presume it's Atherton waving the batters in, so
yes.
The captain declaring.
Yes.
And Graham Hick was either on, I don't know, 99 or 97 or
98.
98,
yeah.
Ah, 98, okay. Yes. So he's dotted out 3 balls, could have got the century.
Yep.
Get on with it. Atherton's gone too slow. Yep. And
had enough of you. In
anyway,
you come.
He got the red ink though.
He did indeed. So that's another moment. So you're 2 from 2. Well Oof. Done. All right. You know your comedy moments.
Oh, yes. I may have read the book.
You may have. All right. Quote 3. "My favourite cod shot, and there are too many to choose between, is not, however, one that struck a batter. That's all a bit commonplace. Anybody can get hit in the wrinkle purse while batting. It's easy. But getting hit in the meat clackers while fielding? Why, that takes a different skill. The kind of skill that perhaps only somebody with the vast experience of England's highest run scorer might muster." What's this in reference to?
I think we saw this one live.
We did.
This is too easy, this quiz. This could be the easiest quiz that's ever been done. I can't even suggest anything other than Alistair Cook getting done in the nuts with the ball in slips. Was
it
slips or gully?
Slips, yeah.
So fielding in slips. And everyone laughing at him. But particularly Joe Root.
Particularly Joe Root, pointing and laughing.
Yep.
Yes, yes. One of
that
the great moments.
In Cardiff?
It was in Cardiff, yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes, all right. So hopefully this next one will be tricky. I'm not sure I made them trickier as I went along, but we'll see. The fourth quote. "The funniest way of being dismissed by a short ball you've ducked is for you to successfully duck under it, only to discover that you've ducked so far under that the ball can bounce over your scrunched up body and into the stumps. This is an excellent humorous exercise, taking a standard trope of ducking under the short ball and giving it a fresh twist." What's this in reference to?
Okay, so this one I may not get all the details completely correct because I'm not sure who was doing the ducking, but it was a women's match. In fact, I don't even know which team was doing the ducking now that I think of it, but let's presume Australia was bowling.
Yep.
Someone bowled, I can't remember who bowled it either, but anyway, someone ducked down. So, you know, I don't think they were crouching on the ground, but completely, but ducked so far that it's kissed the top of the bales and, in fact, dismissed someone while they were ducking.
Yes, that's exactly correct.
Yep. Who was it, though?
You'll lose a few marks because you didn't remember that it was Lydia Greenway from England and it was Elise Perry from Australia who bowled the delivery. But
yes, okay.
But still, I'm going to give you at least a half point.
I'll get
that.
A half point.
Yeah,
that.
So
okay,
3.5 out of 4 for that one. So yes, that's another moment. And the final quote for the final moment, and let's see if you can get this one. "The Australian cricket team have notoriously been non-walkers, and it's been an accepted feature of Australian cricketing culture forever. The justifications for non-walking are well-worn. Let the umpires make the decision. It all evens out in the end. For fuck's sake, Gilly, this is a World Cup semi-final. Where are you going?" So they're the justifications. But what is that quote in reference to?
Oh, God, this could be any. This could be any non-walking moment. Mm. So, I mean, there's only a few that I can remember. And let's presume it wasn't Gilchrist.
No.
It could be any Australian, right? I can just picture Ponting just standing there going, nah, didn't do it. And anyone in the pre-review era,
yes,
for that matter. Any Australian in the pre-review era. But I think this one probably is when Stuart Broad smashed Paul to slip and just went, nah, I'm not walking. And made everyone in England very,
very happy. Everyone in Australia very cross.
Very cross.
That is correct, yes. And of course, English pedants, before you write in, you're always writing into the podcast. Before you write in, we do know that he didn't edge it straight to slip. But I do clarify that in the piece. I correctly point out that the story that Broad edged it straight to first slip makes for a better comic foundation. So that's what we're going with. We don't want facts. We want the best possible joke.
So there are quite a number of facts though in this book. Don't let this put you off, people. Most of the things in the book are facts, correct?
Almost everything, yes. Yeah. But yeah, and if they're not facts, then I'll spell it out.
Comic exaggeration at times.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful quiz. And how many? Did I get 4.5?
You got 4.5 out of 5.
I beat India. Woof! Fantastic.
I can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week. The funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is going to join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller Award.
The Moeller Award, silly things in the week or fortnight of cricket.
Mm.
And the first one I have for you, Dan, is the Pakistan Cricket Board. And they have hilariously, or everyone thinks this is hilarious, they've appointed a convicted spot fixer, Salman Butt, as a consultant member to their new chief selector, Wahab Riaz. So that was a good idea for about 24 hours.
Yes.
And then a day later they kind of checked Twitter and went, oh, a few notifications there. And they thought better of it and then they sacked him.
Yes. So what odds were you able to get that he was both selected then axed?
Oh, that would have been a good bet.
Yeah, especially if you'd spoken to him beforehand.
I think... Anyway, what have you got?
I've got Jos Buttler. He's leading England now on a tour of the West Indies, and he claimed that he wanted England to get back to their previous heights in ODI cricket. And I can only assume he meant comic heights, because the very first thing they did was they went out and lost the first ODI to the West Indies.
Glorious.
Failing to defend, I don't know, 320-odd. So very, very nice to see England extending their generosity to the teams who didn't make the World Cup. Poor old West Indies didn't get a chance to thrash them during the World Cup.
No, that's right.
Let's do it afterwards. So Jos Buttler has now been forced to give out so much credit to opposition teams in post-match ODI interviews these last few months that he now qualifies as one of Britain's highest yielding lending institutions.
Oh, yes. It's a very good place to put your money.
Mm.
And I also like that this is probably qualification for the next round of World Cup.
Almost certainly.
So West Indies on the streak, getting ready to qualify. England?
Yeah.
Starting from where they belong in this tournament, kind of lower down on the pecking order.
Yep.
So congratulations to England. That is very funny indeed. I have another one here. Mm. It's Shakib Al-Hassan, and he is going to contest the country's 12th parliamentary elections from his home district with a poll scheduled for January the 7th.
Mm. Good news. Good news for Shakib Al-Hassan moving into politics.
Yeah.
You don't want to be too late to pop in to vote. Shakib won't be having any of that.
Yeah, so that's right.
Show up on time, cast your votes.
Otherwise you'll be fired.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got one last one here. This is over in the WBBL, which the Adelaide Strikers won the final. Congratulations to them. They held off the Brisbane Heat in a low-scoring match. We watched the final of that. And it ended up with Amelia Kerr, and she was left stranded at the non-strikers end in the final over. She was stranded. She had 30 off 32 balls, and she just couldn't get back on strike. And they ended up only losing by, I don't know, 3 runs or something.
Yeah, that's great.
So, but the thing I like the most about this is that earlier in the tournament, between when we last recorded, Amelia Kerr herself had been penalised 5 penalty runs because she was cleaning the ball with a towel and the ball was thrown in and she caught it while she was still holding the towel. And that's, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to have any external thing. So the umpires, you know, penalised her 5 penalty runs. But knowing this, she should have had a towel out there in this last over.
Yeah.
She should have been throwing it to the opposition players, trying to trick them into catching the ball with the towel.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. With all of her towel experience.
Mm.
Yeah.
She's a hoopy frood who knows where her towel is, right?
Yeah, good Hitchhiker's Guide work.
Yes. So who's going to win the Moeller this week?
I think we have to give it to the Pakistan Cricket Board, I think. Yeah. I think that's fantastic.
I think that's where the smart money was on. So congratulations to the Pakistan Australian Cricket Board. You have
and I had a bet on that too, by the way, that they would win the Muller.
Excellent. Well, yeah. good to see that paying off for you. Yep. At extraordinary long odds. Good betting. You have been listening to me. I'm Dan Lipke. I'm at Leib Cricket on various social media sites.
And me, Kat Jones, at CricketBackKat on various social media sites.
Yes.
Many, in fact. Now.
Yeah, track us down. Mm. Whatever your preferred social media platform is, you could probably find us there. You can also follow us on at Can't Bowl Throw on Twitter. Like us on Facebook by searching for Can't Bowl Can't Throw. And don't forget to subscribe to newsletter.leibcricket.com, and I'll keep you up to date on all things cool as we head into the Australian men's summer.
Yes, exciting.
Social Podcast Network.